Now you'd be lucky to average $5-6 on beaver.
Okay. Now, how many people are trapping?
Across the United States, under 300,000 licensed trappers.
And what was it in its prime?
In its prime, I would say well over 500,000.
Yeah.
It's never been, it's always been a niche activity. It's kind of an oddball sport.
Mm-hmm.
You have a passion for it, and that's all you want to do.
Right.
But not everybody has a passion for it. It requires a tremendous commitment because those traps have to be checked daily, usually.
Yeah.
It isn't like, I guess I'll take the afternoon off and go sit in my deer blind.
Right.
You know, or I guess I'll go see if I can catch a trout. This is the traps are a commitment.
And I know for myself, I happen to see, is it Living Alaska or Light Below Zero? They
below
have
zero,
those Alaska shows that shows them. They trap marten and mink and even wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not coyotes. They're actually trapping wolves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but they come up on a mad wolf with a.
Usually they snare them or they shoot them from a distance. I've trapped a few bears, and when I trap coyotes, I do the same thing. I stop about 15, 20 yards away, and they'll jump around a little bit and slow down. And then when they turn broadside, I shoot them through the ribs with a .22 long rifle hollow point. And they really don't know what hit them. You know, they just kind of go around in a circle. And then fall down and get up, fall down again, and lay down, look around, and they're gone.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a wolf. You know, nobody gets real near a wolf to shoot it.
Sure.
And many of these animals are very passive anyway.
Yeah.
They don't know for sure what's going on.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. What we were trying to think of earlier off mic, off before the show started, was I was trying to think, you know, how many people here in Maine that do the trapping for nuisance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know that there's specialized, what did you call it, ADC?
Yeah, it's called ADC. It's Animal Damage Control.
Okay.
I don't know how many, but there, I would guess easily 1,000.
Yeah.
The lists, if you want to find out who does it in your area, you can go to the IFW website, and you can track it that way, you know.
Yeah.
And you'll see who does it in your county, in your town, and everything. You need a special license. And
those are primarily like skunk, raccoon.
It depends on the area.
Woodchuck.
Woodchucks is real common. Squirrels are bad news. Gray squirrels get in your attic. They eat Romex cable. There's something about wiring. Most wiring that's live seems to attract animals. They cause house fires. And the insurance companies will tell you that 40% of the house fires in America are caused by gray squirrels.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Getting in and chewing on a wire.
Chewing the wire. They strip it up in your attic, and it lays there. And eventually, squirrel kills himself. He shorts himself out on the wire, and there's a fire. So I get calls to trap gray squirrels.
Yeah.
But another thing is flying squirrels. They love living in the attic.
Yeah.
They're nocturnal, and they have parties up there at night.
We had talked about that. I lay in bed in the summertime, and I hear something land on the roof.
Yep.
And then I hear the pitter patter right across the roof, and I know it's not reindeer because it's July and it's not December.
Wrong time of year.
But they get in there and then take off. So, well, Bob, we're going to go to a commercial break. Take a short commercial break, but we'll come right back and we'll talk more trapping with Bob Noonan right here on Maine Outdoors. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne. You're listening to us on VOM, the Voice of Maine, on 103.9 FM Bangor and 101.3 out of Augusta. And my guest tonight is Bob Noonan. He is a Maine trapper extraordinaire. And earlier in the show, we gave away a prize of a SAM membership, 1 year SAM Sportsman's Alliance of Maine membership for our trivia question. And I wanted to let you know that if you would like a Northwoods Sporting Journal subscription, you can either call 732-4880, if no one's there, just leave them a message with your name and number, and when they get in, they'll give you a call. Or you can email them at info@sportingjournal.com. info@sportingjournal.com, and just let them know, hey, I would like a subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal. So good for you, and make great presents too, by the way. All right, we're with Bob Noonan. He's a trapper, and the reason that I really would like to have you on, Bob, because you have extensive knowledge of trapping in Maine. If I don't think that there's anybody that I know of that has more knowledge about trapping. And speaking of which, we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Bob. I'm calling from Woolwich.
All right. How's things in Woolwich?
Good, good. A little bit of snow down here. We got a little bit more than upland, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, 18 inches I measured this morning.
Yeah. How's things going with you, Bob? Staying busy?
Good, 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 good. Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to retire at Bath Ironworks, so.
Oh, well, there.
Yeah, 43 years there.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was I hear a lot of people talking about trappers and how bad they are and everything like that. But, you know, I've trapped. I stopped trapping. It's too much work for me because I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was I see, like, mink swimming across a lake, mm-hmm. and we helped them. We let them hitchhike across on our motor on our boat and stuff,
yeah.
let them off to the shore. And we didn't go take them out because they were furry or anything like that.
No.
And I saw an ermine in my mulch pile.
Huh.
And he was there, and he was getting the squirrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people, I'm not going to say who they are, but, you know, they say, oh, you're cruel, you're killing animals and mm-hmm. all that stuff. But they have to be taken out and just metered, you know, kept at a stand.
Yeah.
Just deer.
Yeah, and I just know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I hate it when they give trappers a bad name.
Yeah. There's a lot of misunderstanding. People don't really understand population dynamics. They don't understand that an awful lot of these animals are going to die in a very short
right.
period of time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen coyotes and fox with mange.
Right.
We have right. seen rabies come through an area and wipe out skunks and coon.
Exactly.
Parvovirus and distemper. All of these diseases are functions of overpopulation. Normally, for example, mange travels. It's a microscopic insect that eats through the skin, tunnels through the skin, and defecates
right.
in the tunnels it leaves behind. And the animals basically
yeah.
scratch themselves to death until they're covered with scabs.
Yeah.
And the way it is transmitted is from animal to animal, so they have to be in contact with each other. And back during the fur boom, when fox was $70, everybody was after them, and it thinned the numbers out. It's impossible, by the way, to wipe out the fox and wipe out the coyotes. And we don't trap for endangered animals. Nobody does. We trap for a surplus.
No.
But we thinned out
right.
the numbers of those animals because a lot of people were after them. And the incidence of mange went way down. Now, today, when fur prices are very low, we see sometimes as many as half the animals we catch, the canines, will have a touch of mange.
Right.
And so this is a real sore topic with me when I talk to people. These people,
I know,
many of them love animals very legitimately, but they really don't have a clue about what goes on out there, and they also don't understand that one of the reasons why we have so many animals of different species is that we have created tremendous food sources, like the interstates.
Right. Exactly.
The interstates are covered on the sides with grasses that are seed bearing, that are holding, that are stopping erosion, but the deer come out and get hit, and you've seen woodchucks along the interstate.
Oh,
I mean, it's just crazy, you know.
They say the fox is in the feline family too, not the canid.
Yeah,
because of their genitals.
Yeah,
from what I understand, it's got the spine on it like a cat holds the. The honey,
right.
So to speak, you know.
I'm going to take your word for that, Bob.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a spur, but.
Well, the public is also told constantly that trapping is cruel because, you know, outfits like the Humane Society raise millions every year fighting trapping and selling that particular lie. But most people, when you talk to them, if you're a trapper and they understand, you know, what you're doing and you can explain it to them, most people are pretty reasonable. They'll listen anyway.
Well, exactly. That's what I try to tell people. And then they calm down after, you know.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
They're not calling me a killer or anything like that. I understand that. But another thing, too, I wanted to say was that I went up country to Baker Lake. You know, they got muskellunge up there.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy and I were sitting there one night. We heard the loons, and then all of a sudden we heard the coyotes because the coyotes got excited by the loons.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the coyotes silenced, then we heard wolves.
Wolves?
Huh.
And, wolves. And so I told the Wolf Society about it up near Baker Lake, and they found signs of wolves up there above Baker Lake.
Mm.
So...
Well,
pretty neat.
Yeah, you didn't actually find specific signs of wolves, did you?
No, but I've got it on audio because I set my video camera up on the picnic table, so you could hear it.
Yeah,
but that's the only thing I've got. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thanks for calling in. Yeah. We appreciate you listening. Good questions.
Thanks for your information.
All right.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Bob, we're going to get touched by the clock again. but what I wanted to really touch on was really quickly, and I know we can't do it in a couple minutes, but if somebody wanted to start out trapping, what's the basic steps to do that?
the first thing I'd recommend is... go with a trapper.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that if you don't have a license, you can't help. You can't carry anything. You can't even carry an animal out of the woods for them. If you catch the fever and you're interested, the state of Maine has a really good arrangement. There's an apprentice license. Now, they have a training course. You have to take a course, a 10-hour course to get your license. But you can get a 2-year or you can get 2 years of it, of an apprentice license. It's $36 like a regular license, but it allows you to go with another trapper, a superintendent, a supervisor, who has, they have to have a minimum of 3 years of prior experience license, and go with them. And they'll show you the ropes. There's a lot of trappers that are anxious to show other people how to do it, especially younger people. And just get yourself a an apprentice license and go with. And you'll find out if you're up for it or not. I got to warn you, if you like to fly fish or you're a deer hunter or a duck hunter or anything, there's been many people whose fly fishing has been or deer hunting has been ruined by trapping because they get hooked bad. I can think of individuals specifically who would see a coyote in a trap and it would spoil their hunting season, because the day after they open on Sunday morning, they were out there setting traps. You can get hooked bad on this.
Yeah. Well, we're going to leave it right there because we're going to talk about general appliance right now, but we'll come back to this and we'll keep going from where we left off. Talking about general appliance over on 91 Center Street in Brewer, 989-4341. Al Elkin is over there, and his line of unique gas off-grid appliances. He has lights, he has refrigerators, he has heaters, he has composting toyalets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Jim Layton's over there laughing right now. He's sitting on the pond looking out, saying he got her. But I just actually went over and got a hot water heater at our camp. We don't have electricity up at our camp up north, and picked up a hot water heater. And my camp neighbor, who lives there year-round, a few camps down, was so impressed with it, he asked me to bring one up for him. And I think he was most impressed with the fact that Al gave me specific directions on how to install it. I'm not a plumber. I'm not an electrician. I don't pretend to be one. But he walked me through what I needed to install that on-demand hot water heater. And I got that all hooked up. And my neighbor, he's an older fella, and he says, huh.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, he's calling me up, asking me to bring him up one. And I did. So the rest is history. So for all your needs, go over and see Al or give him a call, 989-4341. That's General Appliance over on 91 Center Street in Brewer. And if you're just joining us for the last part of our show, I'm with Trapper Bob Noonan. And we're talking about all things here on the Maine Outdoors. You're listening to us on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM out of Augusta, the voice of Maine.
We had a caller, and he was saying that, you know, he read someplace and he couldn't think of the source, but he was saying that what he's read is that apparently the covering on some of this wiring is plant-based, and apparently that draws the rodents to chew on it.
That would make sense in today's world, wouldn't it? What did you call it? What kind of wire?
Romex.
That's metal sheathing.
It's a coating. I thought it was plastic. It's a plastic coating. It's insulation. It keeps wiring from shorting out when it touches other wires or metal.
Right. Okay.
I do know that I've been out deep sea fishing and for sharks, and they would get in, these divers would get in a cage when the sharks were coming around the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And when they turn their cameras on, the sharks would bang up against it. They would be very attracted to the
light.
The light, to the electricity in the that was running the filming of the camera. And they told me that, you know, they said, well, these fish seem to be really attracted to electric current.
Right.
And I've heard that about other animals, but I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it could be something edible in the coating.
Okay. That's all possibilities. Well, Bob, we were before we talked about Al Elkin over there at General Appliance, we were talking about getting started and doing the apprentice. How much is a trapping license?
$36.
Okay. Yeah. And that's just for the basic general trapping license?
Right. If you decide you want to trap a bear, I do not know the cost, but you have to buy a permit to get a bear.
Okay. And there's a couple different types of traps, right?
Yeah, I guess there's all kinds of variations, but the two basic traps are lethal body grip traps.
Mm-hmm.
And they strike the animal either by, you know, on the top and bottom of the neck or on the body anyway. Mm-hmm. They catch them by the body, and the purpose is to subdue them, kill them, or hold them underwater.
Right.
And then the other type of trap is called a foothold. And it is designed to catch across the pad of the foot. And you have swivels in the chain. And you either have a steak, which is what I do. I prefer to have a steak. And the animal is pretty much nailed down, and he can't move.
Yeah.
He can go in circles around and around that steak.
Right.
But if you have at least two, I think the law now requires three swivels in the chain, and you catch the animal across the pad of the foot, he's got full rotation of his wrist and his elbow and his shoulder, and he's on a leash.
Yeah.
He can't hear it himself.
Yeah.
And you can release animals that you want to with a foothold. But for coyotes, you're never going to get a coyote to stick his head into a lethal trap,
right?
Into a body grip,
right?
So that's a trap of choice.
Moving along to the different types of sets, there's a couple different types of sets that you use.
Yeah, one is a blind set, and that is a trap that is set in the trail of the animal, for example, a muskrat run or a beaver run or channel. There's no bait. There's no attractor. You simply put it where the animal is going to go, and they go into it. And the other type of set is a bait set.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you use bait or lure, and you put the trap. You position the bait or lure so the animal has to either step on it or go through it to get to the bait.
Okay. And like a fox uses a scent. Typically, right?
Yeah. A lot of people use scent and bait for canines.
Yeah.
One of the common sets for fox and coyotes is what they call a dirt hole set. You dig a hole in the ground at about a 40, 45 degree angle, and then in the bottom of the hole you put bait, and then in front of the hole you bury, you hide, you disguise, camouflage a trap.
Yeah.
And they don't know the trap is there, which is why you have to be careful with odor.
Right.
And they focus on that hole, and then while they're standing in front of the hole, they put their, ideally anyway, they're supposed to put their foot on the pan of the trap, and then they get caught.
Yeah. And you treat the traps, correct?
Yeah. If you don't, they'll rust.
Okay.
There's a couple of main ways to do it. One is there is a dye that you mix with gasoline, and you clean the trap, and then you dip the dye. You dip the trap in the dye, and then hold it up, shake it, and then put it on a nail on a fence or something, and let it dry. And if the weather is correct, if it isn't too muggy, it'll dry pretty hard. The other method is dyeing and waxing. You boil the trap in a dye. And then when it gets really warm, when the dye has really penetrated the pitted surface of the trap, and the trap is really hot, you take it out and you dip it into wax that's been heated almost to smoking, and it'll boil the water off the trap, and you leave it in there until the boiling stops, and you lift it out, and it looks wet. It's a very thin coat of wax. Then you hang it up, and it's waxed.
Yeah,
that's how most people treat traps for canines, because they're fairly odor-proof.
Yeah, sounds like we're going to the day spa. We're getting a dye job and a waxing.
Exactly. Trap spa.
Well, Bob, how much are traps? We talked about this mic. The average guy, if he's going to hunt, trap, who knows what, let's say muskrat.
Muskrats. And that's a good example, yeah.
And you usually do a couple sets at each site?
Yeah. You normally do what they call gang set. The whole thing in trapping is to know where the locations are, just like fishing or hunting. You have to develop an eye for location, and when you have a location, you want to set several traps. And muskrats are very abundant in some places, and so you might catch, three or four muskrats out of one run. So you would set more traps. I always overset. Traps can cost anywhere from $6 or $7 for a muskrat trap new to maybe $3 used. This is an excellent time, by the way, to get into trapping, because a lot of people are selling their traps.
And you were talking about your Trapper's Post, that magazine.
Right.
They probably do some listing of things, because I know in the Sporting Journal occasionally we'll see in our classified section somebody's selling off all their traps, getting out of trapping and so forth, and don't have anybody, grandson or anybody to to pass them on to, and they're selling their trappings.
Exactly. Yeah. The magazine is, in my humble opinion, it's the leading trapping magazine for North America. Trapperspost.com. You can get the subscription right online.
Yeah.
I'm a consultant. I still write for them. And the guy running it is a real pro. He's a very experienced trapper.
Yeah.
The whole magazine is supported by trapping supply dealers buying advertisements. So, and plus they have a classified section.
Yeah. Yep. So it's actually kind of, and I want to emphasize that the urban trapping. I mean, I look at my house where I live. I have miles and miles of woods up back.
Yeah, yeah.
And to go through and say, well, I don't see anything, therefore there's nothing here.
Mm.
Oh, it's there.
Mm. Right? Oh, yeah.
We just don't pick up on the subtleties until you start doing the sets and finding out what the best area, what the habitat is, and where the best set
that's exactly right
locations are and so forth. And I think that would be kind of one of the other reasons why you'd want to work with somebody who's been doing it for a while, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel. Pick their brain and look at their tips and hints and stuff.
Yes, exactly. That's it. You can't learn any. I mean, the best way to learn is to go with somebody that knows what they're doing. And I have seen people who were deer hunters spend some time with good coyote trappers and make the jump very quickly from deer hunting to coyote trapping, or even otter trapping, or mink trapping, because there's a general, animals use habitat the same way, and it's fairly easy for someone who's an experienced outdoorsman, even a young person, to
and
get
you
into
can
trapping.
Mix the two too.
Oh, absolutely.
Carry a shotgun, carry a rifle while you're setting your traps, and checking on them.
Yep.
All right. Well, Bob, I want to thank you. We've had Bob Noonan on, talking about trapping tonight, and I certainly appreciate you making the drive up. It's a pleasure to meet you. I heard a lot about you. We were talking Vic Morin, who has the Northwoods Sporting Journal with V. Paul Reynolds. Talked a lot about you. We got a lot of windshield time. We're driving around the state for the Sporting Journal. So it's a pleasure to finally meet you and have you on the show tonight. Very interesting show, I hope some people get out there and get interested in trapping, get a youngster interested in trapping.
Yes.
That would be a very interesting thing. Well, next week, Bob Lehman is going to be here, and I don't know who his guest is, but if Bob's on the show, chances are he's going to be talking about fishing. He loves to fish.
Pretty much a guarantee.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. And
well, thanks for having me.
Come on back next weekend and hear what Bob's got to say right here on the Maine Outdoors.